Yo, monkeys, it's me, DDP, the king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion and WWE Hall of Famer. And you, monkeys, well, you're listening to Rhea and Choppy on Turnbuckle Throwbacks. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Bang!
Dark Satellite Media.
What this network needs... this network gets. I promise you that.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
I am the baddest dude that walks the streets today.
I'm gonna end your career once and for all right here in Madison Square Garden.
I knew that I just had to go down and give her the thrill of a lifetime, the rude awakening.
The last thing I want to do is to own the damn WWF, because that's got to be the biggest headache in the world.
Get used to it. Who you're looking at, the man. Woo!
It's time to crank your headphones and forget your problems. You're listening to an action-packed episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast!
Woo! Yeah!
It is Friday, September the 27th, 2019, and you are listening to a bonus episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, otherwise known as a Philatorial. You already know who I am. I've done about 300 of these. Well, no, not really. I mean, we've done over 300 episodes, but I think maybe 10% of them are Philatorials. And if you're new to the show, because we had a lot of new listeners lately, a Philatorial is just basically me, Phil, talking about anything I want to talk about. Politics, religion, wrestling, other sports, my cat Augie, who's sitting here sleeping, he snores, and I record it, and I think it's cute, and this is what you do when you're old. You think everything's cute. Anyway. Getting ready for tonight's show. We have a huge show for you tonight. I'll plug it on social media. We're going to be at Sacred Heart in Glendale tonight, 8 p.m. bell time for Fight the World Wrestling in Glendale, Queens. I think ringside is sold out. If you're local, come out and support local indie wrestling. Come see your boys. It's myself. It's my tag team partner, Choppy. My brother Mike is sitting in with us as a third tonight. Anime Mike. You all know Anime Mike from the show that he's supposed to be doing, which is Ghetto Geek Squad, which he hasn't done, but I'll yell at him later on because he's young and stupid. But with that all being said, hope everybody's having a good week. It's been a weird week. I don't know. How do I put this without sounding silly? But I've been... So Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, October 1st, will be 9 years I'm on Staten Island. And, you know, we make fun of Staten Island all the time because out of the five boroughs in New York City, it's considered the forgotten borough. But a lot of great things have happened on Staten Island, you know. And people who are from here are proud Staten Islanders. And they take pride in their neighborhoods and their borough. And they rep it hard. I mean, good music came out of here. A couple of great athletes. You know, the Wu-Tang Clan originated here, man. I mean, they transcended hip-hop in the early 90s and made a brand, a global phenomenon, you know. If you're watching the current documentary, not documentary, I guess the I guess, documentary about the Wu-Tang Clan on Hulu, you'll see old Choppy and his crew's handiwork as set dressers. So every time I watch it, I see all the different scenes, and you know, I live near those scenes too. I always give a shout out to Choppy. I'm like, that's Choppy. Oh, yep, Choppy did that too. And I'm point that out, you know. Because I love when my people do good things, big things, you know. A lot of great music. Like I said, Wu-Tang Clan. If you're a New York hardcore fan, the Mighty Enraged. Shout out to Jeff. Jeff's a fan of the show. He's a fan of the pro wrestling in general. We got to get Jeff on the show. We keep saying that, but you know, it is what it is. But, you know, and a lot of good stuff. I can go on and on and on. David Johansen from the New York Dolls, very famous punk band from the late 70s. You know David Johansen as the feeling hot, hot, hot guy, which a conga line starts now at every white person's wedding, you know. And after a couple of kamikazes, you know, your boy's up in there too doing the conga, so I'm not even going to front about it. I'm guilty of the white boy, the white person conga line when the hot, hot, hot song comes on. Nick Fatiu, famous Ranger from the 70s and 80s. He's from Staten Island. Jason Marquis, major league pitcher. There's a few people that are from Staten Island or lived out here. You know, Macho Man Randy Savage lived out here for a while. Famous Brooklyn pitcher John Franco. One of the best relievers in baseball, played for the Mets and the Cincinnati Reds. He actually lived out here in Toad Hill, you know. A lot of famous people lived out here for a while, you know. So Will and I were doing research about that a couple months ago, just looking up shit. But I didn't want to do a podcast today about Staten Island. I'm bringing this up because a couple of things happened this morning that I thought were, you know, needed to be addressed. So I wake up this morning very hungover. I went to the Met game last night. And if you have friends, if you have white trash friends from the Bronx, if you're local, you can't just leave a gathering. They drink before the gathering. They drink at the gathering. They drink after the gathering. And I drank a lot, for me anyway, because I don't drink a lot anymore. But I drank a lot last night. So I wasn't drunk. I was just tired and hungover. So I rolled over this morning, and my phone, actually, as I grabbed my phone, it went off as a text message, and people are addicted to their phones, and now I know why. I got this new phone a week ago, this Galaxy Note 10. This thing is fantastic. It does everything. You know, it's got the little stylus gimmick. You can draw, you can make, like, 3D videos. Shit is crazy, but anyway, I'm addicted to my phone. Sincerely addicted. I got, you know, so I get a text message from Choppy saying that our favorite comic book shop is closing, Comic Book Jones, which is located on the North Shore of Staten Island, which you guys all know. I lived on the North Shore for like 6 years. It's very blue collar. It's up and coming in terms of real estate and popularity because you're very close to the ferry still and anyway, it doesn't matter. The blue collar mentality is there. It reminds me of home. And I lived in a neighborhood up there in Port Richmond and Westerly, which had a lot of firemen and policemen, sanitation, bus drivers, contractors, and just hardworking people. And you know, when I moved away and came over to the classy part of Staten Island, you know, the rich part. I'm far from rich. I just stepped in shit and got a cheap apartment. But you know, when I came out here, it's a different mentality. People came from money, or they went from the north to the south, and they got money. And everybody has a pickup truck out here for some reason. I don't know what the fuck is Staten Island's obsession with pickup trucks. It's ridiculous. I have no idea what the problem is with, you know, so. Anyway, so we get a text from Choppy, and we get a social media update that our favorite comic book store, Comic Book Jones, is closing. Sacco Jones is the proprietor. Big wrestling fan. We tried to collaborate with him on a few times with the podcast because he has his own podcast with the comic book store. We just couldn't get together. He had a lot of signings at the Fleet of Lows Wrestling. Had a lot of wrestlers there. He did a lot of tailgates because his shop is located down a block from a movie theater. So when all the comic book movies and the fantasy sci-fi movies would come out, the night before, like, he would have like a tailgate. He would, you know, open the shop up to like adults only, you know, and after hours, before the movie would start, like the midnight showing of the movie, whether it be Star Wars or more of the Marvel movies, DC movies, whatever, Transformers, Godzilla, and he would have like, you know, beverages, adult beverages, and he would have music, and he would sell his books. So 25, let's say it was X-Men. All right, guys, 25% off all X-Men comic books and graphic novels and toys. Okay. And he was a staple in the neighborhood. Recently moved into a bigger place in the same shopping center. We took Choppy there for his birthday. Get some swag, you know. My brother was there. He liked that place, too. And Sako announced today that he's closing the shop. And I'm pretty sad about it. I'm sad about it because it's the sign of the times. You know, bigger places now are selling books and, you know, they have online people now and Amazon and they have comic book mom and pop stores and now, you know, it closing. And on top of that, it's expensive. You know, books aren't cheap anymore. You know, it costs more to make a book. It costs more to put out a book. And now it costs more to maintain a book. On top of that, let's be honest, stories aren't that good. You know, I mean, there's a resurgence with Marvel because of the mouse. And that, I think Disney and Marvel are just putting out books now just to plug their movies and shit like that. And their TV shows and whatnot. Some of the stuff is not catered to fans anymore because it's a different time. And I'm going to start sounding like, oh, when I was your age and you whippersnapper. And they just keep regurgitating different stories, which for me, I get lost. I don't have a huge attention span when it comes to certain things. Well, not certain things. Maybe almost everything in my life I have a short attention span. Maybe that's why I'm fucking single again. You know, I mean, I have a girlfriend, but I mean, that's why I'm not married anymore. But I digress. But you have this thing where you want to believe that these things. I mean, I love a good comic book, even though I'm middle aged now, and I could still once in a while pick up a book and suspend my disbelief for like 10, 15, 20 minutes and read these books and be like, all right. But then they get really complicated. You know, for example, I remember taking Choppy for his birthday to the comic book store, right? And we literally saw 15 different Wolverine titles on the shelf that are current. 15 different Wolverine, X-Men stories that have Wolverine. And I'm like, why? Why do you need 15 different books? And more importantly, how is a comic book collector like a child or a teen, or a preteen, or a young adult? How are these people affording these books when they're $3, $4, and $5 a clip? $10 for an annual. $25, $35, $40 for a graphic novel. How are people affording this as a regular hobby? They're not. That's why I probably saw. I can't speak for Sako, but I'm pretty sure maybe that's one of the reasons why he has to sell the shop. There's two of the comic book stores on the island. There's one that I go to now because I live closer to it, but I still go to Sako. And then the other one I haven't even been to yet. But the other one that I go to is a franchise, and I'm not going to name drop because it's disrespectful, but I would never disrespect Sako. And my kid got his first comic book from Sako. You know, we'd go there all the time, especially on free comic book day. And nothing's free when you have a child, by the way. Nothing is free. Because you walk in, he's going to want more books, he's going to want toys, he's going to want here, she's going to want everything else. In the store, you know? So, anyway. So, they're closing, and, you know, it kind of bothers me because, you know, like, you know, I keep telling people all the time, I'm from that last generation of mom and pop stores. You know, where I grew up, you had, you know, we had a convenience store for everything. We had a hardware store. We had a, you know, a grocery store. We had, you know, we had an appliance. We had small little shops. We didn't have these big, we had big stores. We had like Alexander's and TSS and stuff like that. But there was no Home Depots back then. There was no Lowe's. There was no Amazon, no eBay, no, you know, no, there was no Fresh Direct. You know, there was no Peapod. There was no Grubhub. Oh, no Uber. You would go get your shit from these little stores, you know. We had a general store called, we called it Dirty Mary's. Because lady, her name was Mary, and she was filthy. And she wore this dirty muumuu, like, all year round. And she, but you would go to Dirty Mary when you needed a mop or a broom or light bulbs or keys made. She sold Matchbox cars. I had the entire 007 and Cannonball Run movie truck cars from there, and Dukes of Hazzard, and, you know, any cool Matchbox that came out, I had. So she sold everything and toys. You know, there was Becker's Discount, where this huge, heavy-set Jewish lady with greasy hair and cross eyes, she had her brother's name was Leslie, and she would play lotto for my mom. Now, she couldn't sell lotto to me, but my mom would give me money with a piece of envelope, a piece of paper, like a blank piece of a half of an envelope, and she'd write down the numbers that she wanted, and she'd play them, and give me the tickets. And you're not supposed to. And they would sell me cigarettes for my mom, too. You know, I would get like a pack of Newport Lights for my mom, and I would get the lotto for her. And I was like, you know, she'd give me a $10 bill. Go get mom a pack of cigarettes and get me these numbers. Okay, play the numbers. You know, we had baseball card shops that were also comic book stores. You know, we had Rainbow Bridge comic book store back in the day. We had Fun Stuff. We had, you know, we had a bunch of baseball card stores, which was pretty cool. I used to love those. But now you don't have, now there's, you know, there's big, you know, I go on Amazon right now, I can order anything I want, you know. So it's this, it's society, man. It's what we've come to. It's, you know, it's that instant gratification, you know, it's what everybody wants. It's, you know, it's kind of sort of, you know, the way of the world now, you know. And I don't know. You know, I don't know, man. I kind of get upset when this stuff happens. And I know I shouldn't. Like, it's accepted, and it's, you know, it's the part of, and it's the way of the times, and blah, blah, blah. You know, all the cliches I can use. But, you know, like, when you see guys like Sacco, right? And, like I said, we're not friends. We don't hang out. I mean, we're Facebook friends. We know each other from, you know, from being out there in the neighborhood and shit. But, like, you can tell someone when they have a business and they're passionate about their business, you know? And that's what the connection was with these families when I was a little kid, because they were all from, we all knew each other in the same neighborhood. Like, my neighborhood, and I've told this on the show before, my neighborhood, my immediate family, when I mean my immediate, I mean grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, all lived within a 5-mile radius of me, but my immediate family were less than a mile. I could walk to them. I didn't drive till I was in my late 20s, early 30s, because I didn't need to. I was 18 minutes away from Manhattan with a 5-block walk to my train. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like there's this huge disconnect, because when I was a kid, I knew everybody. Everybody knew everybody else. And if you didn't know somebody else, that the person you didn't know always knew somebody you knew. That's why Facebook is so crazy, because, you know, you connect with people and you realize you're friends with people who didn't think you didn't know they were friends with somebody else that you knew from back in the day. Crazy. It's weird like that. But I even knew my you know, I even knew our mailman. Angelo. Angelo was this old Italian guy who was basically on his way out of the... He was probably delivering mail since the 50s at that point, or the 60s. And, you know, but we knew Angelo. The whole block knew Angelo. And Angelo, every Christmas, they'd hit him off with a couple of bucks, you know. But, you know, that doesn't happen no more. You know, there was no UPS. I mean, the post office delivered all your shit, you know. There was no Amazon Prime, you know. Angelo delivered all your packages. Angelo delivered my tape trading habit. He delivered my Columbia House forgery, you know. He delivered all of that shit. So it's crazy how that shit happens, you know. And as you get older, you become more disconnected with your neighborhood. You move away or whatever. But even when, you know, even out here, there's still some mom and pop stores that are closing up. The only mom and pop stores I see now really are like food places, you know, like ice cream and pizza and stuff like that. Now, some of these places will fall to the wayside because, you know, people don't want, you know, John and Mary's ice cream. They want to go to fucking Carvel. You know, they don't want Sal's Italian Ice Place. They want to go to fucking, you know, they want to go to Rita's or they want to go to Baskin-Robbins, you know. I mean, Staten Island still has a couple of spots that are you know, like Ralph's Ices is a franchise out here, you know. And I lived around the corner from the original one in Port Richmond. And there's one right here where I live now. And every summer they open from May to like October. And they have everything. They have ice cream and custard and shit like that. So, and ices. So, I mean, there's still some staples, you know. Pizzerias will never die in New York City because that's a staple also in New York. For some reason, those do the turnaround with those are, you know, in every neighborhood. We talked about pizza last night with my Bronx friends, you know. And my buddy Christian, who's a police officer now, he's from Woodside, Queens. And I said to him, I'm like, do you remember this pizza shop that was blah, 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 blah? And he lived in the area and didn't even know what pizza shop was about because he went to another famous one, which was Roses. And everybody went to Roses in Maspeth, right? I preferred Corrado's, but people like Roses, whatever. I like Joe and John's, people like, you know what I'm saying? But either way, every borough has their own pizza. You know, you go to, you know, I go to Brooklyn, is forget about it. There's L&B and there's a bunch of them, you know. There's the spot in Midwood. There's a spot everywhere in Park Slope. There's a bunch of places. In the Bronx, there's the one by Montefiore Hospital. In Queens, there's a bunch of them. In Staten Island, you have Danino's. You have Pat and Joe's. You have La Piazza. There's a bunch of them. La Rocca's used to be here before Sandy took it, you know. You know, Manhattan, you got Patty's, I should say, you know. You got Ray's. You got, there's a bunch of them, you know. I mean, I can go on and on and on. The point is it's always sad when you're at this age and your childhood starts to fade more and more and more, you know. Hence why I was pissed off that Sacco's closing the shop today, you know. And it just had me thinking about shit, you know. I don't know if it's a thing. I don't know if it's with just me or every other middle-aged cat. Like, you know, when your childhood starts to fade, you kind of sort of, you know, you kind of sort of not only get nostalgia, but you get really pissed off about life. And then you get, you know, I was in a pissy mood this morning for no reason. And I jumped on the interwebs and, you know, I just saw some stuff and I was like, oh. I let it go, and then I started watching this Jerry Seinfeld thing on Netflix, the comedians in cars getting coffee. And for some reason, I can't stand Jerry Seinfeld, never liked him, but I like the show. So I've been catching up with the stuff that I haven't seen. And it's a brilliant show. It's just him driving around with his friends in a car, in different classic cars, and just talking shit. And some of them are bad, terrible, but some of them are amazing, you know? And you have a whole new respect for him and his peers, because some of his peers are really, really funny. And in his old age now, he's funny. He's 61 years old now, you know? And you forget how old Jerry Seinfeld is. He's been fucking doing comedy since the late 80s, you know? That show he had was like 30 years old. I've watched maybe one episode in its entirety. Legit. Never a fan. I found it to be annoying. But it was a phenomenon, man. Everybody loved that show. Everybody loved fucking Seinfeld. Yep. And I was actually at an ECW event when Seinfeld closed. In 1998, I think it was, me and Tank and I. Matter of fact, I had Tank on the show to do that card with me. So it ain't Seinfeld or it ain't Tank or something like that. It's go back in the archive. It's pretty cool, you know. So I am going to talk about some wrestling today because there's some stuff that Choppy and Jay touched on a little bit last week, and I wanted to just get on that for a minute because I didn't get a chance to, and I want to thank Choppy and Jay for stepping up and taking the reins and doing me a solid. I had some personal shit to take care of, and I really had to take care of some things. It wasn't like wasn't like a leisure thing either, you know, so I want to thank them for stepping up. And this is cool that we have Jay now kind of in the fold. And he can help out. And Choppy has a little more responsibility now in terms of running the equipment and running the board and recording and shit like that. Which I kind of wanted to do from the beginning because I've always wanted Turnbuckle Throwbacks to be a brand. And I don't have to be the only person on every show to be a brand. You know? How NXT is a brand, you know, I want to be like that. I want to be like, get different people, get involved. And that was my vision for Turnbuckle Throwbacks from the absolute beginning. And you start getting nostalgia. The Wizards had their show on Tuesday, and they announced that they're going to have a 8th anniversary show this year in November from a venue in Hackensack, New Jersey. I'll do all the plugs later on. I don't know, I have it in front of me, but you know, I was with them the night before Thanksgiving when they had their year anniversary show, and they talked about, you know, we should expand, and I'm like, yeah, we should start a network. And then that June we started a network. So you know, as a matter of fact, I was talking to Matt last night. Matt was at the Met game, but we didn't get a chance to hook up. He was right above me, literally above me in the seats. So shout out to Matt and his wife. And shout out to everybody, Kevin, Tony, of course. But, you know, you start getting nostalgic and you start thinking about it. And the older you get, the more you're like, the more it annoys you that shit goes away, you know? Like, shit don't taste right, you know? Like, if I like my junk food, you know, you go buy a fucking Twinkie and the Twinkie doesn't taste right. The Twinkies are smaller. You buy cookies, they're smaller. Choppy likes those oatmeal pies from the Little Debbie's. You get like the big economy size box, right? And you open them and they're the size of fucking small cookies. And you're like, no wonder why they're $3, because they're fucking that small, you know? Things just taste different. You know, everything's smaller, quicker, faster. It's just there's no time is put into it, no effort. That's why I like doing the podcast. It's FYI. I'm sorry, DIY. It's FYI. I'm thinking about FYI. I'm thinking about another fucking great store that closed. FYI and Sam Goody and, you know, The Wiz. They still have Best Buy, but it's dumb expensive. But anyway, but this is DIY. This is punk rock. This is the way. This is why I like doing shit like this, because it's authentic, you know. So, anyway, so you know, I got annoyed, and you kind of like get discouraged about certain things, especially with pro wrestling. And this thing, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on right now between the there's a bunch of shows now and AEW and NXT, Raw and SmackDown. SmackDown going to Fox and getting the A team announcers, and there's the WWE is also starting a weekly behind the scenes live show, like a news, like a WWE news type thing. Crazy, you know. Impact, Access TV, Ring of Honor, New Japan. I'll be at New Japan tomorrow night, by the way. In the city, Hammerstein. And you're going to have wrestling on all week again. People still aren't happy. People are still not happy. I don't get it. You know? I'm sorry, I'm reading text messages here. I'll get back to that in a second. But I shouldn't be reading text messages while I am doing a podcast, but I really don't care because you guys all know my attention span. I have so much crap going on in my personal, my professional life that, you know, anyway, there's a ton of shit going on right now and it's all good, you know, and I had a nice train ride into Manhattan and then into Queens yesterday, and I'm listening to Busted Open on Sirius and the replay, and I'm listening to Bully Ray and LaGreca talking about the AEW and about to go live next week, competing with NXT. And we always said it wasn't a war, but in essence it is. And WWE took the shots. They're like, oh, well, you know, you're going to put that on Wednesday nights. We're going to move NXT to the USA on Wednesday nights. Oh, you're going to have a live show? We're going to have a live show with limited commercials on your first night of your broadcast, you know. So congratulations, shots fired. You have a war that's meaningless. It's meaningless because wrestling isn't as mainstream as it was in 1996. You're not going to get the crazy ratings you're going to get from these shows like you got 20 years ago when Raw was being decimated for 83 weeks in the ratings from WCW, right? Can we all agree with that? And if you don't, do your homework, right? You know, with TNT, I don't even know one show on TNT. And that's not me being ignorant. I just don't watch a lot of TV dramas at all. I'm not into them. I'd rather watch, you know, documentaries, or I'd rather watch superheroes and shit like that, you know? I don't like fucking cop shows. I don't like emergency room shows. I don't like EMS shows because I live that shit. That's my personal life. I don't want to watch no fucking TV. I want to watch TV to escape my real life. And the only thing I know on TNT is basketball. So, I don't know. Will AEW Dynamite, which, by the way, guys, on a side note, we knew it was Dynamite. It was trademarked a year ago, so people who were upset about it, get over it. Are they going to win the ratings? Of course they are. Do we have to pick a side? That was a question yesterday, and that pissed me the fuck off. That made me so mad. Do we have to pick a side? And not that I wasn't pissed off that day that they asked that question, because it's a good question. I'm pissed off that it even had to be asked. You know, if you're a baseball fan, you're going to watch baseball, whether your favorite team is on or not. You know, if you're a football fan, you're going to watch football, not just your favorite team. Sports in general, right? If you're a fan of a certain team, like casual or hardcore, and you don't want to watch anything else but that team, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay? So if you're with AEW and you don't want to watch NXT, There's nothing wrong with that. If you're NXT, you don't want to watch any AEW or anything else for that matter. It's also fine. I don't understand the big deal. People were calling into the show yesterday. Well, I'm not watching NXT because Kenny Omega took shots at the NXT talent. And you know, a lot of that's at work, too, because, like, do you think Kenny Omega really wants to disrespect any of his peers at this point in the game? Do you think anybody else in their position wants to? They all have friends everywhere else. I have friends who do podcasts that are way successful, more than I would ever be. Maybe I can be in the future. I don't know. I don't wish them ill will. I won't shit talk them. And if I did, it'd be to their faces, you know. But I wouldn't shit talk them in public. For there's no reason to, you know. If WWE was smart, they would have, my opinion, kept it moving. There was no reason to put NXT on Wednesday nights. They did that because USA wanted more TV. WWE gave it to them. Oh, we'll do it on Wednesdays. Because, again, I don't know anything else on USA except for Law & Order reruns, that Steve Austin show, and Raw and SmackDown. I don't know anything else. Right? I don't watch Law & Order either. I just wait for them to end them on the nights before Raw comes on if I'm home. Right? So I don't even know if that's an issue. You know, I don't know the schematics behind it. I would have kept it moving. No one poses a threat when you have a monopoly on the business, on the wrestling business. Apparently, and Triple H, to his credit, rebranded the developmental and made it into a brand. You want more athleticism? You want better talent? Put on NXT. You're not going to get the long storylines. You're not going to get over-the-top characters. You're going to get professional wrestling. You might get that with AEW. They emphasize wins and losses. They're bringing in talent from all over the world. Japan, the Indies, Ring of Honor, you know. We'll talk about Ring of Honor in a minute. They got a cool pay-per-view tonight going on in Las Vegas. It's the Death Before Dishonor, the yearly one. But anyway, the bottom line is that there's enough to go around, right? If WWE felt compelled to do what they did, so be it. And then there's shots fired. Cody took shots on social media. Kenny Omega took shots. Like, it's going back and forth, you know? The wrestling fan, and I'm using this term loosely because there's levels of fandom now, you know? There's the casual fan who's just watching it, you know, to kill time and to be entertained, right? Then there are the fans who are diehard fans of a certain brand, and they stick with that brand, and they've been with them forever, right? There are fans who were a fan of a certain brand that's no longer with us anymore that came back into the fold and just wants to grab onto something and get that feeling back that they had when they were kids, right? Then there are the hardcore fans like myself who want to watch everything and take it all in and just be entertained and hope for good stuff even when a third of it's bad on their product. But here come the marks. For 10 years now, I've heard, and these are friends of mine on our page, and these are, you know, people who help us with the show, and they're people who are affiliated with us. Impact is closing. Impact is going away. They're going bankrupt. They have no money. But they keep getting regurgitated. They keep getting reestablished and rebranded and bought out, and now they have proper management. Now they got bought out again by the same, and the same people who bought them have Sinclair Broadcasting, Ring of Honor, and now Ring of Honor is going to die. And you know, stop with the dirt sheet, fucking this, the death by dirt sheet. You know, Like, none of us know for sure. Nobody knows for sure. Nobody. We don't have legal documentation. We don't have any kind of proof. All we have are dirt sheets and speculation. Could you be right? Of course you could be right. You have an opinion. Everybody has an opinion. They're like assholes. Everybody has them. Some of them stink. I feel like the more negativity you put out to the universe, the more negativity you bring back. You know? So, like, if you believe that these places are going to close, they could possibly close. You know, you don't know. No one knows. But why would you want them to close? Why? If you worked in a factory, right? And let's say you worked in this factory for 20 years, let's say, right? And this factory is paying your bills. It's supporting your family. You get health insurance, the whole nine yards. Let's say there was a factory that opened up across the street, right? Doing the same factory shit that you're doing now, right? But they're paying their people a little better. The health insurance is a little better. They have a cafeteria. You don't, you know. They have more days off, more holidays. You don't. But you're doing the same thing. And the talent is there, too. You have talented people working in this factory. And there's talented people like yourself in your factory, right? You don't want them to close. Unless you're in a threat. Like, if they're doing better business and they're going to close you out, yeah, you might want them to close. That means you lose your job. Why would anybody want anybody to lose a job, first of all, in this economy? Like, anybody. I don't give a shit if you worked in fucking Target. I don't want the kid in Target to lose his after-school job. I don't want the fucking housewife who's trying to help her family work in the night shift to lose her job. You know what I'm saying? I don't, you know, there's a purpose. I don't want the line cook in my favorite diner to get fucking deported. I like the way he cooks my eggs and my hash browns. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't wish that on people, you know? And I don't, you know, and with pro wrestling, it ain't like sports teams. Sports teams, you can, you know, if you're good, you can go to 30 other teams. There are 30 other teams, maybe 12 of them, maybe 10 of them, maybe 8 of them will have interest in you, right? Maybe, but with a wrestler, unless you're going to do indie dates, there's not many places to go anymore. So if the E cuts you, yeah, what if Ring of Honor doesn't want you? What if AEW doesn't want you? What if Impact doesn't want you? What if New Japan, All Japan, what if they don't want nothing to do with you? You got to go to Game Changer or Pro Wrestling Guerrilla or Evolve or Chikara. Or you got to go to Combat Zone. You got maybe Ring of Honor. You don't. That's the thing, though, man. It doesn't pay like those other places pay. You got to work twice as hard. These people have families. They have livelihoods. They don't just entertain us and that they call it a day. They don't have a fucking. Some of these people have a day job. Some of these people entertain you and then have a day job. I have a friend who's a civil servant. Another friend, he's a firefighter. Another friend, he's a fucking manager of a corporation. And moonlights as a pro wrestler. Okay? So, think about that when you're, like, putting out your fucking dirt sheet demise about Ring of Honor closing, because I posted an article about Marty Scurll, and I kind of put a pun in there, like he was, you know, he's gonna make it big one day, you know. We all know Marty's big. Marty's fantastic, And I've been a fan of him since day one. The thing is, with Marty, he didn't go the route that his friends went. He stayed where he was to own his craft. You know, it takes a lot of balls when you have really famous friends doing big things and you stayed behind because you wanted to evolve as a character. Not to get lost in the shuffle, you know. That, for me, that's character. That's something I would do. It's easy to go where your friends are going and to have a quick run of success. But it's all about longevity. I've been EMT for 20 years, right? But I evolved. I did communications and logistics. And I kind of came off the truck because I knew my body and my mentality couldn't handle 20 years of PTSD pre and post 9/11. You know, and the city is changing. And it's hard with patient care and between bad cops, good cops, and the city, how corrupt the city's become. And that's just another podcast I don't want to even get into. And I just don't know if I would be able to be on a truck as a new EMT, you know. You evolve, you know. And I think the fans are just placating to all the dirt sheets, man. No one knows for sure. It's nice to post and talk about stuff, get everybody's opinion, and, you know, poke fun at your friends and fuck around and like, oh, you know, he's just a mark. We do it all the time. It's fun. I can poke fun. We all poke fun at each other because it's what it is. It's fun. In reality, though, we don't know. In reality, we do not know that these things are happening behind the scenes. Like I said, Impact's been closing for 10 years. Impact was so bad, it was on a TV Guide channel that I did not have. A scrolling TV Guide channel that for at least a year or two, my cable service did not have. Okay? Fathom that for a second. Tell me how bad they are. Oh, Ring of Honor's bad because the Bucks left. Because Hangman Page left. Because SCU left. You know? Because all these guys left and went to AEW. Cody left. Kenny Omega, who shows up to the Ring of Honor twice a year, he left. Stop. Please. Ring of Honor's been around for quite a long time now. And still has homegrown talent. Homegrown. Jay Lethal. Homegrown. The Briscoes. Homegrown Flip Gordon. Homegrown the Peacock. Dalton Castle. Homegrown Cyrus. The Silas Young. Homegrown Colt Cabana. They probably didn't stay there, but they made their way back. Homegrown. You know? Think about that for a second. You know? Think about it for a second. And then think about that before you fucking copy and paste your next article about who's closing. And it's great. When I went to Raw a couple weeks ago with Jay, we got people posting on Facebook, oh, the ticket sales are terrible. Ticket sales are terrible. 17,000 people in that place. In a non-mainstream time in the world. In the mecca of professional wrestling, New York City, Madison Square Garden. Oh, tickets are at a stagnant. Tickets aren't selling. How could WWE should be ashamed. I've seen this, a post. WWE should be ashamed of themselves. 17,000 people were in attendance that night. I have video to prove it. I sat 13 rows from ringside. I was fucking there. Don't tell me that wrestling is dead. Stop telling me that wrestling is going to, that these feds are going to close. If they close, let them. But you don't know that for sure. Let it go. Enjoy it. Enjoy the pay-per-view tonight. It's going to be a great pay-per-view. Let's go over the card real quick, shall we? I'm going to go over the card real quick. Let's do that. Here is your final card for tonight's Ring of Honor Death Before Dishonor pay-per-view from the Samstown Casino in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. Maverick, our buddy Maverick, will be in the house with his son, okay? And you can buy it on Honor Club, obviously, Fight TV, okay? Jeff Cobb will take on Brody King from Villain Enterprises. There's a tournament, number one contender tournament going on. So one of the matches is Jonathan Gresham versus Jay Lethal. Marty Scurll versus Colt Cabana. Kenny King versus PCO. Those are all tournament matches, okay? Vinny Marsiglia and Silas Young versus the Bouncers. The Briscoes versus Bandido and Mark Haskins for the Ring of Honor Tag Championships. Bandido and Mark Haskins are part of Lifeblood. Kelly Klein versus Angelina Love for the Women of Honor Championship. Tracy Williams, Mr. Hot Sauce, versus Flip Gordon, versus Shane Taylor for the ROH television title. And Matt Taven will fight Rush for the Ring of Honor World Championship. That's a stack card. That's worth the $25 on Fight TV. Okay? That's a Friday night pro wrestling. If I wasn't doing the fundraiser for FTW tonight for Sacred Heart, I would be there. I'd be here. I mean, watching the pay-per-view. You have to ask yourself what's more important to you as a fan, right? You have to ask yourself, is the talent and the wrestling more important, or is it the makeup of the Fed itself? Like, are you really that worried about the production and the politics behind the scenes, or do you want to watch the wrestling that's on scene? Do you want the pyro, or do you want the longer promo? Like, do you want more stories, or do you just want the flippity-floppity shit? You know? Because there's something for everybody now. You know, I like everything. I like the stories. I like the flippity-floppity stuff. I don't like all the kickouts, but we all know that's just a thing, right? But, you know, these guys aren't going to have long careers if they keep doing that, so you just appreciate them as they come along and pray for the best. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know that some of these guys are not going to have these, like Ricochet. I don't see that dude wrestling for fucking 15 years. There's no way. And if he does, he's either has robotics inside of him, or he's just a lucky fucking dude, because that dude does crazy spots. Crazy spots. So you have to ask yourself if this is important, you know. I tend to not read dirt sheets. I mean, I read remnants of them because of the show. And I kind of like try to dissect it and give it a positive spin, because my cup will always be half full when it comes to pro wrestling. Pro wrestling for me hasn't gotten too bad where I just stop watching. Can't. I won't. You know, I've been to some terrible Broadway shows, but the singing was good. The acting was terrible, you know. I've been to concerts where the artist is amazing, but he sounded fucking terrible, or she sounded terrible that night. Could have been anything. Could have been the sound system. Could have been just them physically, you know. You know, I've been to the movies recently where I thought the movie was going to be fantastic, and it wasn't that good. Matter of fact, I saw two movies this summer that weren't that good, that I thought were going to be a lot better than what they were. Did I take something positive away from it? Of course I did. because that's what I do. I'm paying a premium for my entertainment. Okay? I work super hard for my money. Okay? And I'm not saying you guys don't, because you all do. I'm sure you do. You have families and mortgages and car notes and bills and shit like that. Kids, right? But I pay a premium for my entertainment. So if I pay a premium for my entertainment, I'm going to force myself to suspend my disbeliefs. Totally. So that's who the fuck I am. And that's who I'm going to continue to be until I stop. Until I, you know, until I put my money elsewhere, or I just stop watching wrestling for whatever reason it is. You know? Or I stop going to concerts. Or I, you know, I don't know, stop reading comic books, or I stop watching movies, or stop, you know, I'm just stop going to Broadway shows. You know, unless I don't see myself doing it anytime soon, but I would do that before I desecrated it. You know what I'm saying? I would give it up first before I would, you know. This ain't like disgruntled customer service where, you know, you buy something or you get a service and you don't like it. You're like, yeah, I'm not going back to you guys anymore. Because people do it with WWE all the time. Oh, I hate fucking Vince. I hate Triple H. I hate SmackDown. I hate Raw. I hate this. I hate that. A lot of hate, by the way. I hate. But, gotta go to the shop.com. Get that new fucking, get that new Roman Reigns shirt. Oh, they, SmackDown's coming to our town, honey. We gotta get tickets. You know? There's the hypocrisy. So, I think I've spoken enough. I got a lot to do today. And I'm sitting here talking to you guys like I have nothing to do. So with that being said, I just want to, before I go, I want to just touch on one more thing. And this is about the big Kaz thing. And I read recently that he was being helped by DDP and getting his shit together. And anybody who knows me knows I know all about drug addiction and what it does to people. Where I'm glad that he slapped Pat Buck or punched him, whatever it was. Pat Buck didn't deserve it. That locker room didn't deserve it. I'm sure Big Kaz feels terrible. I'm sure Big Kaz is in a really bad place in his life. And I'm sure Big Kaz wanted to get help. And he was crying for help. That's why he probably did what he did. And then Dallas reached out to him, and hopefully Dallas can help him. You know, it's nice that there's a community like that that looks out for each other. And we can talk shit about Pat Buck and anybody else that we don't like all we want, but he's from that society, he's from that crew, he's from that pack of wolves, that pack of that, you know, a pack of stays together like a family, you know. And it's that kind of party. So when guys can come together and girls can come together and help somebody else out the way they did, I think it's fantastic the way it happened. So I really, truly hope that he gets the help that he needs. And I hope that everybody can look above it and beyond it and move on. Hopefully they get to work together another day and make money. And, you know, it's not too far-fetched, you know. But it's drugs and depression. I know for a fact that depression is crippling. I suffer from it every day. And there are days where all the medication in the world is not getting me out of bed, or all the medication in the world is going to help me from stop crying or wanting to do something terrible to myself. There's just certain days where you need a little more than what you're taking now. Okay? So I want everybody to think about that. If you know somebody who's going through some shit, especially on a day of our brother Marvin's birthday who passed away, if you know somebody who's going through it, try to be there for them. If you can't be there for them or her, pass the buck. Try to get somebody else to do it. Help out. Reach out to a colleague, to a friend, to a family member, to a doctor, to a priest. Anybody who can help that if you can't. Remember that. It's important. Okay. With that all being said, I'm going to go get ready for tonight. Hope you guys can join us tonight. 8 o'clock bell time, Sacred Heart Academy in Glendale, Queens. Go on the Facebook page for more info. There's a group invite. Hit up Sal and Chuck for tickets. Ringside is sold out. Don't forget to go to all our website gimmicks. We have, TurbicalThrowbacks.com, ProWrestlingTees.com, /TurbicalThrowbacks. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, RantEMRadio.com. Who's going to have a post show after all of the Wednesday events, AEW and NXT, this coming Wednesday. Of course, the Rant and Shining Wizards the day before that, and inclusive on Sunday. There's a lot of good metal on the radio, and you have Radioactive Metal. There's a bunch of shows. Just support all your teams. Support your pod. So all your teams, all your fucking feds, all your music scene, your indie scene. Just support your scene. Be a good fucking person too. All right. I'm done. Gotta get out of here. But you guys don't know the drill. Take care of yourselves, each other. Avoid the clap. Don't get arrested. Don't be like this cat right here. Takes all my shit. Takes all my space up. Now he wants me to pet him because he knows I'm talking about him. But I'm out of here, guys. I love you all. Take care. I'll see you guys. Hopefully we're back in the studio next week. Same bad time, same bad channel. And remember, if you shake it twice, you're playing with it. Peace.